Team, thank you. Our pastor is out this morning, so I've been called to the big leagues a little bit, out of the bullpen. I'm going to be honest with you, you know, over the last, I don't know, I guess almost 3 months now, I've been just kind of walking along a great team of leaders in our children's ministry, and it is awesome to be hanging out with adults today. Hey, listen, I do want to talk about the cost today, and I know it's on the heels of the holiday season, so by no means, let's don't get it mixed up with the price or what you paid for holiday gifts, okay? So we're talking about the cost of being a disciple and a follower of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, this passage is a great passage, Luke 14. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Luke 14. But look, this is a passage that man, I tell you what, I came to know the Lord late in life. I was about 20, in my mid to late 20s, and man, this passage just really came to life to me one day. I can remember I was living for Jesus to a certain extent. You know, I'd prayed a prayer, and listen, I believe it's more than just praying a prayer, everyone, okay? It is a lifestyle. It is acknowledging His presence in your life. It's more than just a prayer. We get hung up on this prayer, which, listen, I always look at this as that prayer. You got to do something to get the ball rolling, get the wheels on the bus going round and round with Christ, okay? So, yeah, you got to start it somehow and admit that you're a sinner and believe that He is the Son of God and confess those sins. So, and after doing that, I had some men and women in my life just helping me grow. But there were things in my life that I just couldn't get rid of. And I really struggled with some certain things. And they were illegal. I'll just leave it at that. And so, you know, it cost me something. It cost me something to follow Christ. I paid the price, and I continue to pay the price, not like I should. So listen, I want you to be open this morning. I want you to be thinking about in 2014, you know, and it's for whatever reason, it's worked out this way. The last 3 years, I think this is the third year in a row, I either preached the last sermon in December or the first sermon in January. So I feel almost like it's a need to kind of kick off the new year, you know. I don't have bells and whistles or anything, just the Word of God, and that's going to be sufficient this morning. So listen, everyone, each and every one of us has paid the price for the things that we have in our life. And I don't necessarily mean a monetary price either this morning, okay? Think about it. If while you were in school, or maybe some of you older kids are kind of working toward a scholarship in life, but while you were in school, just think about that scholarship that you gained. You had to work your tail off to make those grades to get that scholarship. You know, maybe you're in a good situation with your job right now, or have been in a great situation with your job where you were making pretty good money and you had flexible hours and maybe that office with a view. If you had that, you probably somewhere down the line had to prove your worth to someone. You had to pay a price. You know, if at this time you're in a solid relationship with the opposite sex, whether it be in a marriage or a courting relationship, 19 kids and counting, and now are compatible and happily walking through life with someone, you had to pay the price. You probably had to go through a lot of relationships that were pretty bad to find that right one, whether it's male or female. There's things in our lives. Think about that. As we begin today, I want you to think about the things in your life that you had to pay the price for. Okay? All of these things in your life that seem to be on track and doing well for you in your life came at a price. Again, you had to make sacrifices. You had to work hard at it. Maybe for some of you, you had to put your selfish desires on a shelf and give a little more than maybe you wanted to at the time. But now you see how incredibly worthwhile it truly was to be sold out to something, to a cause. What about the price you have to pay to follow Jesus? That's the question today. Now that we've kind of defined what it means, and maybe you can relate to it in certain things in your life where you paid a price. There was a cost that you had to pay to get something in life and gain something. Okay, and I'm not saying those things are bad. Some of them may have been. That's up to you. That's between you and the Lord. So now what about the price you have to pay to follow Jesus? What does it cost you in your personal or your professional lives to follow the one that is truly worthy of following? You know, maybe it costs you some nights out on the town with your friends or your family. Maybe it's cost you some laughs around the water cooler at work when a repulsive joke was told and you took offense. You know, or maybe some friends it's cost you some friends on some social networking sites because you made a stand for what is right and good and turned away from something that is filthy and just downright wrong. The cost. You know, there are times that we're all going to face those tough decisions, whether or not to fall into the worldly trap or make a stand and let our authentic relationship with Jesus Christ shine through. Listen, if you're in here today and you have a relationship with Jesus Christ that's real and that's personal, and I believe that's what it should be, it's acknowledgement of Jesus' presence in your life. That's when it's real and it's personal, okay? If you're in here today, you know what I'm talking about. Some of us know because we've had it happen. And on the other hand, some of us know what I'm talking about because you haven't allowed it to happen. You haven't allowed Jesus Christ to take over every area of your life where you were absolutely paying a price just to walk down the street sometimes in life. You know what I'm talking about. So as we move forward, I want to look at three things in this passage in Luke 14. Luke 14, verses 6 and 7. This morning we're going to take a look at a passage of Scripture that clearly states what it costs to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Three quick points this morning. I promise we'll be out of here by 1. Okay, these things we're going to see these some things in this passage, okay, just three brief things that I believe are spelled out very clearly for us that Jesus tells us in what it costs to follow him. Verse 25, now great crowds were traveling with him, so he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. 27, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for your blessings upon your word today. God, I pray that it's communicated clearly. And Lord, I pray that we will see the importance of being totally sold out to you. God, we have an opportunity this morning to make a decision. And Father, I pray that we'll be real, that we'll be real with you first and foremost, God. But we'll also be real with ourselves. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, so I believe the first thing that we see in this verse, pretty clear, man. In verse 25, we see the masses. We see a bunch of people. Okay, we see in this verse how large crowds came together and they joined Jesus as he traveled Jerusalem. You know, many times Jesus suited himself to those around him when he was speaking. For instance, and in those of you that dig into the words, you know how he treated the Pharisees. And, you know, to the Pharisees, he preached humility and he preached charity. In these verses, I believe that he directs his sermon to the multitudes that crowded after him. Listen, these people were seeking, okay? When Jesus drew large crowds of people, these people had heard and seen possibly some miracles and heard of some things that Jesus had done. And so they were wanting to find out what was going on, okay? In these verses, he directs his sermon to the multitudes that crowded after him. Perhaps these were casual followers, you know. Maybe some of these people considered themselves to be true disciples of Jesus Christ. You know, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what the makeup of this crowd was. But I do know that they came after him in a very zealous way. They followed after him. They were seeking something. I believe in my heart of hearts, listen, my thoughts this morning is that the crowds were much like those who follow after Jesus Christ today. The crowds were much like those that fill our churches. The crowds in this passage of Scripture that follow hard after Christ, I believe, are much like some of us. This could be the same demographic in this room. Now, we all know the kind of people that fill our churches. We all know the kind of people that call themselves Christians. Okay, and when I do this, I don't mean this in a bad way or a good way. You be the judge of that. I don't know where you are with Jesus Christ. I know where some of you are, but I don't know where everyone is. But I believe, again, that these crowds probably represented the same kind of people and type of people and places of in their lives as people are today in our churches. And I'll define some of them. And as I do, I want you to kind of maybe match yourself in one category or the other, okay? And there's a thousands that I could list, but I've just chosen a few, and I want you to be mindful of maybe where you fit in, okay? And again, only you can make that call. I'm not being judgmental at all. I promise you. Some were hot in this crowd. Some were cold. Some were sure about whom Jesus Christ really is, and some were not so sure. Maybe they had seen him perform his miracles, and they knew that he was the Messiah. They knew that he was the Savior, and some were not convinced. Some in that crowd that day were filled with childlike faith, while others were just along for the ride. Same thing in our churches. Same thing for maybe some of us in here. Some of us may be filled with childlike faith, but then maybe some of us say we're Christians and we want to tell our friends that and post things on Facebook and say things on social media and other places that we're saved, but we're truly not, we don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Fruit will come. Maybe there were people in that crowd that day who truly loved Jesus Christ, and they could not wait for him to speak into their lives. But it was also filled with people who claim to love him, but had no intention at all of applying anything that he said to their lives that day. Some were in the crowd and just wanted company, and others were in that crowd that truly wanted the love that Jesus Christ was getting ready to share through the words that he was going to say. You know, one thing is for sure with all of that. Verse 25 kind of sets it up. But Jesus was about to teach that following him was more than just knowing facts about him. And in verse 26, he explains what it really means to be a disciple and defines the cost of discipleship. In verse 26, he says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciples." I believe our second point. I believe that he gives us a mandate. He gives us a command here in verse 26. You know, we see Jesus clearly tell the crowd that absolutely nothing is to take precedence over loyalty to him. I'm an old school guy. I know I don't look it. I'm an old school guy, and I love old commentaries, just some theologians back in the 1800s. Man, those guys, think about it. Think about guys that dug into the Word of God years ago, hundreds of years ago. They didn't have, you know, the cell phone. Wrong pocket. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have the televisions. They didn't have the movies to go to. Man, these guys just dug into the Word of God and got on their faces and really sought His guidance. Matthew Henry says this about this particular verse. Jesus was telling the crowds that day that they must be willing to quit that which was very dear to them and come to him thoroughly weaned from all of their creature comforts. That's Matthew Henry. Listen, Jesus wasn't saying depart from anything that may cause them not to live a sacrificial servanthood life. From anything that may cause them not to live a sacrificial servanthood life. Everything that may tempt someone not to follow hard after Christ. You know, listen, this is a powerful statement by Jesus Christ if you think about it. Very powerful. Very powerful. Think about this statement in relation to material things, okay? I want you to think for a minute with me. And he's saying everything in this passage, okay? And also, if I don't get to this, I want to state this clearly. Now, I don't believe that Jesus, when he said hate, okay, I don't think Jesus hates anything. I think it was just a play on words or what have you. I don't want to add anything or take anything from the scripture. But in all my researches, he's wanting us to put everything in front, or put nothing in front of him and put him in front of everything, okay? But when in relation to material things, when speaking about the family here in this verse, think about this. When you're watching the news and you see somebody that's home burnt completely to the ground, okay, you tracking with me on this? What is one of the things that most people say? Anybody, this is open class here. Like if you see somebody that's on the news that's lost their home and all their possessions, what do they usually say? Yeah, it's a Southern thing, isn't it? No, think about it. they'll say, well, at least I have my family and friends, don't they? So think about that in relation to this verse right here, okay? You know, they always say something like that. Most everyone loves their relation, their mother, their father, their son, or their daughter, okay? Just to take the edge off a little bit here again, once again, Jesus is essentially telling the crowd, all of us, again, all of us, the Word of God is relevant and practical today. We believe that. Okay, everything. I don't care if it's in Genesis or it's in Revelation or anywhere in between. It is practical and relevant today. So the Scriptures, when people are following after Him, don't read a passage of Scripture and say, oh, it was just for those people in sandals back then. No, it is for us. Okay? It is for us. So listen, so He's essentially telling the crowd, all of us, that we must love Him more than anything else. Now, if you're not, and I'm not big on having people write things, but jot this down, because maybe this could help you about 6 months down the road, maybe 6 weeks, maybe 6 hours or 6 minutes from now. Listen to this. This is an original by me, but in all honesty, I don't remember where I got it. Our comfort and satisfaction in anything other than Christ must be swallowed up in our love for Him. Pretty simple when you read it like that, but man, that thing is profound. Our comfort and satisfaction in anything other than Christ must be swallowed up in our love for Him. Jesus also tells the crowd, all of us, that they must hate their own lives. We cannot be disciples of Jesus Christ if we do not put our selfish ways behind us. Our money, our possessions, listen, even our own well-being, okay, must come second to knowing, to loving, and of following hard after Jesus Christ. And you know, really, this kind of, when you say that, it seems impossible, doesn't it? It really does seem impossible to put everything on a burner for Christ. But when you experience the pleasures of a spiritual life and believing hope and the prospects of eternal life, this saying becomes easy. Hate even his own life. I can't imagine life without Christ. And I'm learning every day, step by step, as I walk through life, how to hate my life and love Him and His ways more. But it is a challenge. I need some of you to do that. You need some of me. You need me and the pastors in our church to do that. And you need each other to be able to do that. It goes back to accountability. We've got to have people in our lives that are going to ask us the tough questions and give us the tough answers when we ask the tough questions. Jesus calls His followers to be absorbed in a single exclusive thought and passion, and that's Him. And as I was studying for this passage, I got to thinking about back in November when we had those 63 IMB missionaries here. Man, what a blessing. In the first service, I thank people because I don't know if I publicly was able to thank everyone, but thank you for those of you that worked that weekend and that week and helped us just build a great foundation for that to happen. That was definitely not about us that weekend, you guys, but we couldn't have done it without 100 or so. My back? But during that week, listen, there were 63 missionaries on campus, some couples, some singles. And some of those people that were commissioned that weekend to go to places outside the United States of America, okay, they're on mission in the world, okay? Some of those people, I heard stories of just how God brought them to a place, for one, to show them that life was not about them. And then finally to a place to where I was talking about a little bit ago when God kind of called me to ministry, just how life's not about us, okay? Life's not about them. And also just some things in their life they need to get rid of in order to follow Him harder, harder, okay? And then finally to that place to where they said, here I am, God, send me. And then God gave them clear direction on where to go. And I got to thinking the other day as I was speaking with somebody at the children's basketball practice, and I thought about how, look, these people that went, those 63 missionaries, and look, we're the same way. You don't have to go to Turkey or Afghanistan or someplace like that to be a missionary. You can be a missionary in Olive Branch and in the greater Memphis area, okay? And I know you know that. But I got to thinking, how some of those people, they could possibly pay the ultimate price that could cost them their lives. Some of those 63, and if you were here and you got to witness that, which was a blessing, some of those people may never step foot back in the United States of America again. I mean, that's the cost. That's the cost. Okay, last point. I'm going to make this quick. Verse 27, the missing. And I'm not sure if that word fits with this particular verse. It just kind of fit the M. So, masses, mandate, and missing. No, it does. 27, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. The cost of being a true disciple of Christ depends on the price that you are willing to pay. Jesus spells it out clearly here in this passage. Listen, you have got to bear your own cross. We must, as Christians, we must bear our own cross. What is missing in your life or in your relationship with Jesus Christ? What is it? What's missing? Why aren't you paying the cost? Why isn't there a price to be paid? Why aren't you paying that price in your life? Think about that. Again, I'm just trying to get you to thinking, okay? Maybe everyone in here is awesome and you guys are great and you're doing well in your walk. I know I'm not. There's some things that God's brought to the forefront of my heart and my mind after studying this passage and preparing for this today. There's some things where I am lacking. And I'm probably going to end up calling a few of you to talk about it. Okay, because I need accountability and I need help. All right? It's nothing big. I don't have a gambling problem or anything, okay? Listen, what is missing in your life and in your relationship with Jesus Christ? Is it time to do this? Is it time to stand up for what you know in your heart is right and quit trying to fit into this world? And listen, we need to remember that it's a world that just uses and abuses us as Christians anyway. The world that uses and abuses people, period. But much less us. I mean, it abuses us. And it's crazy because you know what? As Christians, we know that. We know how the world works. But yet we continue to indulge in it. Maybe it's time for you to make your yes, yes, and your no, no in certain areas in your life. Maybe it's to just downright trust the Lord's command and obey His word. What about maybe it's time for you to love others and forgive those who have sinned against you? Maybe it's time to give first without wanting something in return. Maybe it's time for you to live by faith and stop leaning on your own understanding. Listen, I want to ask you this question. What does your bankroll look like tonight, today, this morning? What does your bankroll look like tonight, today, this morning? Excuse me. What does your bankroll look like this morning? That was crazy. That just happened. What does your bankroll look like this morning? I'm not talking about the change in your pocket, okay? I'm not talking about the change in your pocket. I'm talking about the price you have paid to follow Jesus Christ. I'm talking about your spiritual bank account this morning. Is your spiritual bank account empty because you're totally sold out to Christ? I want you to think about this. Are you living a humble, gracious, faith-filled, radical life for Him? Or, listen, are you sporting the bling, so to speak? Are you sporting the bling because you have never invested anything at all of your life into the kingdom? And bling this morning would be things like pride and arrogance and self-righteousness. Opposite things of what the Word of God tells us in humbleness and graciousness and faith and love. Look, those kind of things, the pride and arrogance and the self-righteousness, those kind of things are hard to admit, but Christ wants to rid your life of those things. And I believe that it's clear in this verse here that there is a price to pay to be a disciple of Christ. So let me ask you, and I'm going to close. We're going to watch a video in a moment. But I want to ask you, what has being a disciple of Christ cost you, if anything, this past year? You know what? Maybe not even in 2014. What about the time that you said amen and prayed to receive Christ? What does it truly cost you to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Think about that. And I want you to really, really be in prayer about what to do about it this year. You know, you have a new year. It's a new chance, a new start, whatever. Blah, 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 blah. You know, it's a lifestyle, but you got to begin somewhere. Okay? If you haven't been living that way, I want to challenge you. What is being a disciple of Christ cost you, if anything? You know what I believe it comes down to? I believe if you're not living a sold-out life for Christ, and you've really never paid a price for being a disciple of Jesus Christ, and you don't have a clue what the cost would be, I believe that it comes down to one thing. I believe that it comes down to being totally sold out, willing to pay the price. You've got to have trust. I want you to watch this video real quick.
Jesus, I just don't trust you.
You don't trust me?
No, I mean, I want to trust you. I just don't.
I have an exercise that I think will really help.
Oh, okay.
Stand here and face this direction. Mm-hmm. Now, do you trust me?
No, I just said I don't trust you.
All right, well, this is all part of the exercise.
Oh,
all right.
Right. Okay.
Whenever I ask you if you trust me, you say, yes, Jesus, I trust you.
Even though I don't.
It's practice.
Okay.
So, do you trust me?
Yes, Jesus, I trust you.
Now, fall back.
Are you going to catch me?
Don't worry about that part.
Okay, that's the part I'm worried about.
You can do this, okay? Just trust me.
Trust you.
Fall back.
Okay, well, Jesus, I trust
Good.
You. Do trust you. I'm gonna fall back.
Okay. Woo! Oh, okay.
That's great.
Okay. Let's try this again. Just face this direction and keep your feet planted. All right? Do you trust me?
Yes, Jesus, I trust you.
Now, fall back.
Okay. I'm gonna do it.
All right.
I'm really gonna do it.
Okay. Good. You're ready for level two.
Level two, here
yes.
I come, baby. Woo!
No.
Whoa.
Okay, hold it.
Oh, you know what? You're too close. You need to move back.
Ah, right.
Okay.
This one's a little bit different, Laura.
Oh, okay.
Stand here.
Uh-huh.
But face me.
Woo! Forward fall.
Okay.
I can do that.
Wait.
Whoa.
Okay. Wait for my signal.
Oh, right. The Jesus signal.
Yes, the Jesus signal. Do you trust me?
Yes, Jesus. I trust you so much.
Good. Fall back.
That's awesome.
It is awesome. Especially when you do it.
Seriously?
Of course.
Okay, Jesus, I don't know if you noticed this, but there is nobody over there.
I know it looks that way to you.
It looks that way. It is that way.
You can do this, Laura. Just trust me and fall back.
Jesus, I can't do that.
We can do it together.
I can't.
You can.
I won't.
Give me one pure and holy passion. Give me one magnificent obsession. Give me one glorious ambition for my life, to know and follow hard after you. To know and follow hard after you, to grow as your disciple in your truth. This world is empty, pale, and poor compared to knowing you, my Lord. Lead me on, and I will run after you. Lead me on, and I will run after you.
You would stand with me and sing that with me. One pure and holy passion.
Magnificent obsession. Give me one glorious ambition for my life, to know and follow hard after you. To know and follow hard after you. To grow as your disciple in your truth. This world is empty, pale, and poor compared to knowing you, my Lord. Lead me on, and I will run after you. Lead me on, and I will run after you.
position like that lady, and God's calling you to trust Him, and you're good with the trust in Him when you can see Him and you can see Him work Him and you can hear Him and things are going well. But I wonder how many of us would really fall in trust when you can't see Him working. And that's my challenge with you, for you this year and today especially. And as we have the invitation, listen, maybe you've been visiting us for a few weeks and you feel like this is the church for you. And God's calling you to join our congregation. Be down front. Come see me. We'll send you off and some people will counsel with you. And maybe you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ. You don't have a clue what it means to be a cost because you don't even know the guy we're talking about. And maybe today's the day. Maybe He's picking at your heart. And today's the day that you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you make it real because you're acknowledging His presence in your life today. Maybe you need prayer. Maybe you just need to come and pray with some friends because you're not bearing that cross. Because you're not living a life where it costs you something. The altar's open.